Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, wait a minute. Hold on, wait. I'm sorry. Let me hit the button first. And Big Sin, let's begin.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, please forget what Hollywood has tried to do. My name is Big Sin. This, that Hollywood J. Black. Today is Friday, September 4th. And we are here the 6 days away from the kickoff of the NFL season. We are here today for the final NFL preview, NFC West Rundown, featuring your NFC champion, San Francisco 49ers.
That's right. Let me do it one time for the one time. The NFL preview. Had to do it one time. Since this is the last episode of the series, you know, I had to give it just a little dab. First and foremost, I want to thank Big Sin for gradually escalating the intensity, the integrity, and the intelligence of the intro. He followed the three eyes from our Lord and Savior Kurt Angle, and brought it every single week, baby. That's right. Woo!
So at first we started releasing these videos two times a week, but then we realized we're not going to make the NFL season kick off. But that's why you get them three times a week. And you see our ugly mugs like six times a week because you got the Sinful Black React videos going out three times a week. And pretty soon you're going to see us nine times a week because Sinful Black Roast premiere Labor Day week.
That's right. That is right. You're going to start to hate us, but you're going to love us. Oh, and you can't forget about the fact that Overtime Sports Show drops Sunday night. If you're this far into it, the Overtime Sports Show is dropping every Sunday night with talking about what happened in the week of sports. And you're going to hate us, but you're going to love us. And it's okay. We love you and hate you at the same time as well.
And I posted this picture. I actually did want to say it to James in his face. Sinful Black TV on YouTube has a 91.7 like to dislike ratio.
That's right. That's right, baby. Woo! That means people mostly tolerate us.
It's because we're we are the most electrifying duo in YouTube entertainment.
That's right.
But anyway, we are here to talk about the NFC West. It is a lovely, lovely Friday. Hollywood over there not even wearing any 49ers garb for this video. Surprisingly.
Because it is too large, okay? It's too large. It will just stand out. And I don't want to take away anything from this video.
In that case, hold on. Let me do this. Nah, fuck that. Anyway, so we got the NFC West. The NFC West is a very competitive division featuring two top-tier teams, a team on the uprise and a team on a downfall. So why don't we just get right into talking about the team on the uprise, the mighty midget Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals.
The Arizona Cardinals are the team that nobody, and I mean nobody, wanted to play last year because you had to play 60 minutes of actual NFL football when playing Kyler Murray in the Arizona Cardinals. that Cliff Kingsbury and his scheme did not make it easy on anyone, to the point where teams thought they were going to win easily and they end up tying or somehow losing at the end of the game. Yet, the Cardinals are actually the best worst team in the NFL. Hands down, point blank period. It's not up for debate.
So numerous times last season, I had to remind Hollywood J. Black and my buddy John that the San Francisco 49ers haven't beat the Cardinals since like 2014 until last season.
Yes. And we beat them twice and luckily beat them twice because
the Cardinals gave you guys fucking fits.
Yes. As good of a run and pass defense, well, let me rephrase that. As good as a run defensive team as the 49ers are, we had problems, and those problems only got exacerbated when they traded for Kenyon Drake.
You had Kyler Murray, who can move, and Kenyon Drake. And then you have to worry about Larry Fitzgerald, who, I'm going to say this every time I mention this man's name, has more tackles than drop balls in his career.
Yes, that is probably one of the greatest feats ever. It'll probably go down with the best catches to drop ratio in NFL history when it's all said and done.
So, all right, so let's go ahead and let me talk about any COVID people sitting out for this season. They only had one. That was Marcus Gilbert, who took no offensive snaps last year, so it really didn't matter. Nope. They brought in, they brought in Rodney Gunter, Cassius Marsh, Zach Kerr, Caron Reed, Farrell Cooper. Nope, never mind. I know the people they lost. I am so out of it.
You're having a long day. It's okay. It's okay.
Okay, their signings are Jordan Phillips, Devon Kennard, Devondre Campbell, Tavion Coley, but the biggest move this team made was trading 2 gallons of milk and a broken-down running back for the best wide receiver in the NFL in DeAndre Hopkins.
Yes, which is probably one of the biggest, boldest, harshest, most electrifying trades in sports, sports history, only because that the Cardinals damn near gave up absolutely nothing to make this trade happen.
They gave up a broken down running back who hasn't ran for them in 2 years.
Yes, and every time that this man has stepped on the field for an extended period of time, he has gotten injured.
If he is healthy this year and becomes the David Johnson of old, then the Texans got a good side of this deal. But right now, as we sit here today, Bill O'Brien made the dumbest trade in NFL history and then went on the record and said coaching DeAndre Hopkins, and I said this in the AFC South preview, is like coaching Aaron Hernandez, a guy who murdered like 10 people.
Yeah. Yeah. And so now we're coming to a point where we got Kenyon Drake. We've got DeAndre Hopkins. We've got Larry Fitzgerald. We even got a couple 1 year, 2 year wide receivers from last year.
Demarius Bird.
The Bird.
No, he went to the Patriots. Christian Kirk. That's what I'm talking about.
Kirk, yeah. So now we're at a point where the Cardinals are starting to look mighty freaking dangerous, bro.
They got a young quarterback who can not only beat you with his legs, but he also has a strong arm.
Yes.
His main downfall is that he needs a step to see over the offensive line.
Yes. Which, if he goes to the Drew Brees school of quarterbacking, he'll figure that out. Drew Brees is not a tall man at all. But Drew Brees has years of experience. So he knows how to use his body to navigate from his change from being short and navigating the field. So he'll figure that out in time. He showed flashes of greatness, showed flashes of being a general quarterback and shown frustrating moments. But I think that with a really good receiver, a first ballot Hall of Famer, one really good receiver who's a surefire Hall of Famer at this point, a running back who's resurrecting his career. This is going to be one of the most interesting and most fun seasons in Cardinals history. I think even more so than the year that Kurt Warner took him to the Super Bowl.
Which was something to say because Larry Fitzgerald was on that team.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give credit to Larry Fitzgerald. He pulled the Joe Thomas and stayed with a bad team for a very long time for loyalty reasons. He had a chance to go to New England and turned it down.
Yep.
Where he would have probably won a Super Bowl with the Patriots. But let's go ahead and take a look at that draft picture real quick.
All right.
So first and foremost, that number one pick right there, Isaiah Simmons is a monster coming out of Clemson. Then you got Josh Jones, Lecky Fotu, Rashard Lawrence, Evan Weaver, and Eno Benjamin. Like I said, that first pick of that linebacker, that dude is a beast. And him and Chandler Jones are going to have some fun this year.
Yes, they freaking are. That Simmons pick is going to be legit. I think that's probably that's obviously a stud pick. Josh Jones. As an offensive tackle on the left-hand side, guarding that blind side.
Yeah, what's good about Josh Jones is he can run.
Yeah.
He's not a standstill offensive lineman. He's a mover. So
yeah. So, and he was a high third rounder. He should have really went in the second round, but because of the college that he went to, didn't get a lot of fame. That's why you need a good talent scout to notice these things. Rashard Lawrence.
I was getting ready to mention him. You are a mind reader. How did he fall to the fourth round with the 131st pick?
I still have no idea how that fell. I don't even know how Lecky Fotu dropped from Utah to the 100. They got two studs in the middle in the fourth round. I'm still perplexed. I don't know much about even Evan Weaver. I know a little bit about Eno Benjamin. I know that Herman Edwards sings his praises.
Yeah, so Eno Benjamin is an NFL ready running back, but Cameron Drake, this is his running back. This is his running back.
Yeah. So I mean, this is going to be an interesting season for the Cardinals. They have a lot to build on for sure.
They have a lot of potential.
Yes. Yes.
Barring Kyler Murray falling into a sophomore slump, which is entirely possible because of his style of play, they might be a sleeper playoff team.
Yeah, which is that's actually I was going to get on that, and it's something. Let's take a look at the schedule because I briefly looked at it. There's a lot to take away from this schedule.
All right, so this schedule, they start off at the 49ers, which I know Mr. Black over there is like, are we going to start off 0-1 or 1-0?
Levi's was a tough place to play last year.
So you got the 49ers, you got the Washington football team. You got the Lions, Panthers, Jets. Man, they got soft in those fucking soft-ass schedule in those 4 weeks. The Cowboys, yeah. Seahawks, the Dolphins, the Bills, the Seahawks, the Patriots, the Rams, the Giants, Eagles, 49ers, and Rams. They are benefiting from kind of a soft schedule here, especially weeks 2, 3, 4, and 5, and possibly 6, because the Cowboys struggle against mobile quarterbacks.
This is potentially where
they could be 5-1 going to facing Seattle, a team that they beat last year.
Yeah. All entirely possibly. Even after that, they could be 6-2 by it's all said and done. In the first 8 games of the season.
Yeah, the Buffalo Bills and the 49ers are possibly 2 losses, but that 49ers game, like I said, is always rough because the Cardinals, for some reason, play the 49ers better than anybody else in the NFL.
Yeah. That's going to be interesting to look at. I'm looking at the schedule, and if I really had the bank and just say, I mean, at least the schedule gets tough, ridiculous, or super tough at the end, and that's going to prove where the Cardinals actually, I think, to me, where the Cardinals stand between having to play Buffalo, Seattle, then New England back to back to back. Then they get a little bit of a reprieve with the Rams, depending on what Rams team shows up. But the Rams had problems with the Cardinals last year. They were only able to outscore them late. But the Cardinals have weapons now. I don't think that's going to be a thing. The Giants game, which I, you know me, I don't trust the Giants at all. Then Philly, who's going to be vying to win the division. Well, then the Niners.
Well, here's the problem. Carson Wentz injured one of his soft tissues, so they don't know how long he's going to be out.
Oh, my God.
Okay. He was carted off the field yesterday.
So, they need as Hercules once said in the show, oh, I dropped a bunch of shit. Let me see. As he once said, disappointed! Oh, I had to get that one back.
So here it is. I didn't do this in any of the other videos. Here it is. Big Sin's bold prediction. I am predicting the Arizona Cardinals to go 11-5 in the 2020 NFL season.
Ooh, 11-5. I think I call 9-7. He said 11-5. Ooh, I got 9-7. You booked me for 9-7.
I got.
I think that's where it goes. But there's that Seattle games. That was a potential playoff.
Yeah, I think they. I think they split the Niners games, the Seattle games, and they beat the Rams twice.
Yeah, I could probably see that. I could see that. Ooh.
Yep, 11-5. The bold prediction right there.
He said 11-5. He finally got his bold prediction in. I know you're waiting for the NFC West to come on. I know that's what it was. Because listen. All right. So next up. We got the Los Angeles Rams,
a team that traded a player that the community loved and the team loved this last offseason.
Yes, but that didn't love himself enough to get his knees fixed. Are we talking about the same person?
Yes, we are.
Todd effing Gurley?
Who we got called out last year for saying he was only going to – he was not going to average 25 carries a game. He was only going to average under 15. And somebody's like, oh, no, he's healthy. He's going to be a beast. He's going to be this and that. How wrong were you, sir?
I wish I should have tagged him in the last video of the season last year that we did with the Rams and say, ha, look at you. Look at you and laugh.
Look at you, fool.
That way he could be.
Go ahead.
No, I said that way he could sit in his box of shame. Ha, 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 ha.
Oh, all right. So on the COVID list, the LA Rams lost Chandler Brewer, who only played 17 offensive snaps last year.
Yes. Chandler Brewer. Ooh, excuse me. Sorry. Chandler Brewer is an interesting fellow. He would have all the potential in the world. They thought he was going to make a big step, and no, they did not. But COVID happens. It is what it is. No big deal. We move on, right? I think that's the key to COVID holdouts. We move on.
But the biggest problem is what they lost in free agency.
Oh, yeah, of course.
They lost Corey Littleton, Dante Fowler, Mike Thomas, Greg Zuerlein.
Yep.
Nickel Roby Coleman, anybody knows him as the guy who blatantly tackled a player on the Saints and got them eliminated from the playoffs. But yeah, they lost a lot of talent on defense, but they still got Aaron Donald.
Yeah, yes, they do. Yes, they do, which is an interesting thing. So I don't know. Listen, I look at it like this, okay? We knew that the Rams were in a world of trouble because they were about as close to the cap as you could possibly get because of the signing Aaron Donald to that big ass contract.
Well, and signing Donald, Gurley, and Jeff and Jared Goff, they gave big ass contracts like day after day.
Yes. Also, they took in the trade for Blake Bortles' contract. Don't forget about that.
And now Gurley and Bortles are no longer on this team.
Yep. And it's all bad. It is all effing bad.
Let's take a look at their draft.
Okay.
Soon as you get done fondling your eye.
Sorry. Oh, I can't see. I'm rubbing my eye.
All right, so we got Cam Akers, Van Jefferson, Terrell Lewis, Terrell Burgess, Bryson Hopkins, Jordan Fuller, Clay Johnston, Sam Simeon, and Tremaine Ankrum. So in the third round, they drafted two guys named Terrell.
They're just going to have to figure out who they are, okay?
Terrell, Terrell, come here. What do you want, coach? No, not you, the other Terrell. The smaller one.
So interesting, the fact that they have a running back in the first round. Well, in the second round, sorry. They didn't have a first round draft pick because they traded that first round draft pick to get Jalen Ramsey. So let's see.
So their running back core this year, their running back core this year consists of Cam Akers, Malcolm Brown, Darrell Henderson, Xavier Jones, and John Kelly.
Yes. Which is in a bad draft. Not, I mean, it's not a great one, but it's not a bad one either.
It's serviceable.
It's serviceable. It fills some holes really cheap because the Rams don't have any cap space. So that's just this. I wish I could be more excited about the Rams. And I'm like, I sit here, like, I'm looking at this team and I look at what they did 2 years ago and how they were the talk of the NFL. But remember, me and you said that that type of performance was not sustainable in the long term, especially since they got exposed in the playoffs.
Bye. Look behind me.
Yes, by New England. They got completely exposed. And that was it. They didn't do shit after that. And after that, they've been – this is – so everybody talks about the Rams that go.
Yeah, I am – Jared Goff, to me, is still not NFL ready.
And you know what? He has all the tools to be NFL ready. He has a great arm. The thing about Jared Goff is the perfect what's his name? Jeff Fisher quarterback. You know why? Because when you see him, all you can think.
Well, the problem is Jeff Fisher. I can't hear you, and you're not moving anymore. Let me refresh my screen.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here now. I will cut that out. I lost you at the Jeff Fisher quarterback thing.
Okay. Did you hear me when I said 8-8?
No.
7-9?
Nope.
No, okay. I said Jared Goff is the perfect Jeff Fisher quarterback because every time you look at him, it's 7-9. That's what I see every time I think of Jeff Fisher. Unfortunately, there's nothing to get excited about the Rams now. There's no Todd Gurley. Nobody that just says, you know what? This is going to be a great team. They hit their ceiling way too fast, and they fell off just as fast as they came on.
It started with them losing Jalen Ramsey.
Yep. Starting with Ramsey, Gurley,
Cooks.
They lost their receivers, their defense. I'm looking at this and I'm just like,
it's catastrophic. This team is no longer a major threat in the NFL.
Nope, not at all. In fact, more so that the Cardinals have jumped over them now. The Seahawks are always going to be the Seahawks. The Niners are now in this next phase of trying to get a championship. So where do the Rams fit in? I don't think they fit in anymore.
Well, let's look at their schedule real quick so we can go over this thing.
All right.
All right. So They got Dallas, the Eagles, Buffalo, the Giants, the football team, the 49ers, the Bears, the Dolphins, the Seahawks, the Buccaneers, the 49ers, the Cardinals, the Patriots, the Jets, the Seahawks, and the Cardinals. This is a rough schedule.
Oh, yeah. And this is what happens when 2 years ago you make it to the Super Bowl and you now have to reset the schedules now and make it work. So what do you think? Look at this schedule.
If Carson Wentz is healthy, it's loss, loss, loss. The Giants game is questionable because you don't know what Giants are coming, and if Saquon Barkley is going to be healthy.
Yep.
The Washington football team, you don't know what quarterback will be starting. And like I said, this is going to be the hardest year for us to predict. The Bears might be better than they were last year. Hopefully they learned a lesson. The Dolphins are definitely going to be better than they were last year, especially defensively.
Yeah.
The Seahawks are always good. We know what the Buccaneers got and what they had the potential to be. We know what the Niners are. I already showed my love for the Cardinals and what they're going to do this year. The Patriots by this time could be hitting their stride in week 14. The Jets, Seahawks, and Cardinals, the end. That is a rough fucking schedule.
Dude, I'm looking at this schedule.
4-12.
Let me see.
Because the Giants game, the football team, the Bears, and the Jets game are all questionable. And I'm going to give the Rams the benefit of the doubt that they're going to beat those four teams.
What if I told you that by week 8, I think that Sean McVay is going to be fired?
I don't think they have the balls to fire him.
You don't think so? I think that he's going to be the scapegoat. They have the balls to fire Jeff Fisher towards the end of the season. I think that
they fired Jeff Fisher because he said Jared Goff wasn't ready, which is true, but then Sean McVay made Jared Goff work.
Yeah, but what do they have to make him work now?
That's the problem. I think the GM gets fired this season, but not Sean McVay.
Because look, you have a Cowboys game on Sunday night. They lose if they lose on Sunday night, lose to the Eagles, lose to the Bills, lose to the Giants, or maybe even come close. If they eke out a win against the Giants. And let's say they lose to the Redskins, which would be a big ass slap in the face.
The football team.
No, the football team. Sorry. Then they lose to the 49ers. Then they lose to the Bears. And then they lose to the Dolphins in Miami. That's seven.
I think of it like this. At this point, Sean McVay and the GM and the owner of the team are going to have a meeting. And Sean McVay is going to throw the GM under the bus and be like, look, he took away a lot of my talent. What do you want me to do with what I have on the field?
Yeah. But it's self-inflicted, though. So then they could end up 1-7. 1-7 by the time the first half of the season is done. Okay? And then now they get a bye week. And then they got to deal with the Seahawks twice in this second half of the week.
They got the Seahawks, Buccaneers, 49ers, Cardinals, and Patriots all back-to-back.
And you talking about 4-12? Where?
Okay. I'm giving them the Giants. I'm giving them the football team. I'm giving them the Jets, and I'm giving them the Bears.
I can't give them the Bears. I think the Bears are too good defensively to lose this game.
See, I think I think the Bears lose this game based surely on the fact that it's in LA.
I see. Because one team comes up, another team's got to come down. I say 3-13, bro. Like, and that's even stretching it. Like, I'm looking at this, they could end up 1-7 in the first half of the season and then turn around and have to play the murderer's row of the Seahawks, the Bucks, the Niners, the Cardinals, and the Patriots, which should probably be Cam Newton's Patriots, and Cam Newton tried to get into a playoff spot.
Three of those games are on the road.
Yeah, and Cam Newton, they already know the Patriots, I mean, the Patriots already know the Rams offense. They know Sean McVay. That defense can shut them down and give Cam Newton the opportunity to win this game. And without Jalen Ramsey, there's no threat on the outside. And then you got the Jets, which I think I'm pretty sure they could beat the Jets. But who knows if they would have given up on the season and start trying to figure shit out and throwing in backups at this point. Who knows if the Jets might accidentally be trying to get into a playoff spot because either we're going to get the Jekyll Jets or the Hyde Jets. Either the Jets that beat the Cowboys in Dallas or the Jets that just are trash. And then they got to play the Seahawks in Seattle.
The problem is with the Jets, at some point in the season, you know and I know that dumbass coach they have is going to go with Joe Flacco.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. And then the Seahawks and then the Cardinals again? Nah, I'll get 2-14.
Oh, you changing to 2-14?
2-14 because only definite ones are the Giants. Oh, not even the Giants is not definite. The football team and the Jets. That's the only ones I can say I can guarantee and say that they're going to win.
So I have a question. I should have asked this when we were talking about the Jets and the AFC East one. How is Le'Veon Bell and Joe Flacco going to get along?
By fighting each other to the death, and whoever wins steps on the team for the field for the week. That's all. No big deal.
Because you know,
that's just semantics.
You know, both of them want to be the guy who leads the team.
Yeah, semantics. It's just you know. Don't be surprised though if Le'Veon Bell gets traded halfway through the season either. That's another thing you gotta consider.
Yeah, because Adam Gase don't like him.
Like, because remember, think about it. There's gonna be some running back needy teams that would love to have Le'Veon Bell as a team friendly contract. Trade him. Fuck it. Who knows? He might end up in New England. By the time it's all said and done, if some injuries happen. Here you go. He was throwing the hoodie. Adam, this is Bill. We understand that you have some problems with Le'Veon Bell, and we are more than willing to trade him for an 11th round draft pick in the 2029 NFL draft, and a ride on the boat. I know that you said that you wanted a ride on seven rings. I will definitely take you around the bay one time. And that's all I got for you. But that's all we can give you. Sold. And I lost my earpiece somewhere. But who cares at this point? I don't know where it went. Oh, it's there somewhere. Is it that there? Hold on.
We're talking about this man's division, and he has had nothing but problems since he started.
That's the story of my life. Nothing but problems.
Nothing but problems. The Hollywood J. Black story.
That's right. I'm gonna write a book one day. So book me 2-14, 2-14 for the Los Angeles Hams.
All right, I got you. So next up, we have one of the most dangerous teams in the NFL.
Okay,
teams in the NFL, the Seattle Seahawks, where yesterday Pete Carroll made this statement to his coaches and all white people, treat blacks better.
That's right.
Those are his exact words. They could have been, you know, better said, but those are his exact words.
Yes, but is he wrong?
No, he's not wrong, but he really could have used some different phrasing in this instance.
I mean, you know Pete Carroll. He's not one for having elongated speeches or, you know, semantics or anything like that. It's just simple. Treat black people better. God damn. Listen. You grew up half your life in one of the most racist cities in Arizona. And instead of you hating black people, you like me. And you're good in the hood. So what is like?
I'm Newark. What the fuck do you expect?
So what is hard? What is so hard about treating black people better? Like that's the point that we're trying to get. Like you grew up in a racist environment and you still are fairly good with African Americans. You can go to the hood and be straight.
That's because when I was growing up, I was the one who was met with the racism.
Well, yes, and I understand that, but still, you're good in the hood now. We can walk through Northtown. We're like, we ain't fucking with this nigga, cuz. What the fuck?
Yeah, remember he's remember he used to chew in the parking lot of Mario's. It don't fucking matter.
That's what I'm saying. Treat black people better. That's it. You see a black person, be like, yo, what's nigga, what's good? You know what I'm saying? High five. You know what I'm saying? Bro, you know, like, come on. That's it.
Hey, bro.
You know, if you see a nigga driving, if he really ain't doing nothing wrong with the police, don't pull him over. Pull over the crackhead over there in his office and going, No. Pull over the dude just driving down the street. You know, that's cool. That's cool. You see what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying. Treat black people better.
I shouldn't have said anything because it's got James off on a tangent. So let's go ahead and talk about the draft of the Seattle Seahawks.
Yes, let's talk about the draft of the Seattle Seahawks. We're not really the thing is we could go over the Seahawks, but they're literally just the same team. Hold on.
There's a big white guy in the middle of this.
See, that's right. See, I bet you he treats black people better. Oh.
So we got Jordan Brooks, Darrell Taylor, Damian Lewis. Oh my God, and this is the whitest name in the world. Kobe Parkinson.
That's right, Kobe effing Parkinson, who went to Stanford.
Then we got, here you go, DJ Dallas.
That's right. How are you going to have two first names? But I love it nonetheless.
Allen Robinson, Freddie Swan, and Steven Sullivan. Obviously, the big name here is Jordan Brooks, the linebacker out of Texas Tech.
Yes.
And we all know how Pete Carroll's defenses are.
Yes. Pete Carroll loves a good defensive person. That's the one thing that Seattle really needed to rebuild back upon because their defense wasn't as great or as stout as it has been over the years. He did acknowledge that.
Because Earl Thomas did this.
Well, But aside from Earl Thomas, there was no Legion of Boom no more. No Earl Thomas, no Richard Sherman. The other dude retired, and another dude retired.
Yeah, because Cam Chancellor felt that he couldn't play in the NFL no more because of the restrictions of what he likes to do.
Yeah, I mean, you've been trained a certain way to hit people. You're going to hit people the way you hit people all your life, and you're going to get suspended for it. You can either be Cam Chancellor or be Vontae Berfic, who gets suspended every year.
I mean, or be Clay Matthews, who gets a roughing the passer penalty for just doing this.
Boop. He gets a roughing the passer penalty and not even reach the quarterback, okay? Like, he'll do a blitz, not touch the quarterback, and then go back in the coverage because the ball got thrown to a running back, and then tackles the running back and gets hit with roughing the passer.
The NFL refs, they're not targeting an African-American. They're targeting a big white guy with long blonde hair. That's what they're doing.
Clay Thomas is the Kringle McKringleberry of the NFL. That's what he is. Three pumps, baby. One, two, three, flag.
The fucked up part is, in two consecutive seasons, a roughing the passer penalty has cost the team Clay Matthews in playoff games and a playoff spot.
Remember the time he actually tackled a quarterback safely and still got hit with a roughing the passer?
Like he hugged him and put him down gently and still got roughing the passer.
They should do a skit where he sacks the quarterback, gently tucks him in, you know what I'm saying, burps him, and then he still gets a roughing the passer penalty. So, that would
be the worst part about this, and I'm going to talk about somebody in the NFC North, is one of these penalties came against his former team, the Green Bay Packers, where the referee literally gave Aaron Rodgers the flag to throw.
I remember he tossed the flag to Aaron Rodgers, who then – I'm like, oh, my fucking God, really? Really?
But anyway, really? The Seattle Seahawks, yes, their defense ain't what it was, but it's still good. And you got Russell fucking Wilson, who is the man – and who actually has another interesting – oh, wow, Geno Smith is still on his team?
Yes, he is.
The most interesting stat with Russell Wilson is the stat between him and Tyler Lockett. They have a 98.9% completion percentage when the ball is in Tyler Lockett's vicinity.
Yeah. Well, between him and Jacob Hollister, who was outstanding last year.
And don't forget about the big-ass dude. DK Metcalf, who was a monster last year.
Well, it made it was to the point where it made the 49ers, who we'll talk about a little bit, go out and get a big ass receiver in the draft too. See, DK Metcalf was a game changer, and it made a lot of teams get big ass receivers. You see what happened in Dallas? You see, they got a big ass receiver. He was a game changer last year. The Seattle Seahawks are still one of the most dangerous teams in the NFL, hands down.
Let's go ahead and take a look at their schedule.
All right. So let me remove that thingy right there.
All right. We got the Atlanta Falcons, the Patriots, the Cowboys, the Dolphins, the Vikings, the Cardinals, Niners, Bills, Rams, Cardinals, Eagles, Giants, Jets, the football team, the Rams, and the Niners.
Yes. This one is an interesting schedule because it's all gas, no brakes.
My prediction for the schedule is going to give me a lot of hate from people, especially what I said about the Arizona Cardinals.
All right, go ahead. Let's talk about it.
I am looking at a 10-6 team.
10-6? That's not bad. That's not bad, all things considered.
Because the Dallas game is tough. I think they beat New England. Dallas has always played them at Seattle. Dallas has beat them many times there.
Yeah.
That's the Dak Prescott Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
At Miami might be a struggle because that Miami defense is a lot better this season. Minnesota is a problem. Arizona is a problem. They're going to split with San Francisco, as always.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at 10-6 because Buffalo, they'll destroy the Rams. They'll probably split with Arizona. They'll beat the Eagles, beat the Giants, beat the Jets, beat the football team, beat the Rams, and then lose that last game in San Francisco.
I mostly agree. My only qualm is going to be I disagree about the Dolphins one. And I'm a flip-flop you on the Dolphins one, but I also think that they can beat Buffalo.
So you're looking at what, 12-4?
No, I think that we're talking about 10-6 as well. I think 10-6 is fair. 10-6 is actually fair, given with the Cardinals, because I said the Cardinals were 9-7. I think 10-6 is actually fair for Seattle.
All right. So next up, we have the reigning, defending NFC West, NFC champion, San Francisco 49ers, who caused COVID and blew a Super Bowl simply by doing this.
They did not cause COVID. And technically,
everything was fine until that picture was taken.
So let's explain what happened in the Super Bowl. What happened was is that the 49ers simply lost gas. They had nothing left in them. They were up 20-10. I knew that it was bad when they stopped running the ball at the end of the game, where they should have ran the ball, kept running the ball, the Chiefs used some timeouts. They lost everything. They had no more gas to defend against Patrick Mahomes. They couldn't keep up with them. The thing was is that what stopped them, let me rephrase that. What helped them stop the Chiefs is that they limited the box that which Patrick Mahomes was able to work out of. They say that either you're going to beat us short or you're going to have to go deep, and we already got that covered. You're going to have to run the ball. You're going to have to waste time, and your people are going to get tired, and we're going to fuck them up. But the problem is they didn't take into consideration that the defense was going to run out of gas, and Patrick Mahomes was just going to say, fuck it, I'm going to just chuck everything and see what happens. And that's what happened. That is what it is. But because of that, changes were made, enhancements were made, and we're back in the saddle. Everything's okay.
See, the whole issue is you guys have a ton of fucking injuries, including Deebo Samuel, who was your best wide receiver. You lost Emmanuel Sanders.
Yep.
I don't.
We gained some things too, though. Remember, the focus is not the passing game; it's the running game, and it's George Kittle. But we got some hitters. We drafted some hitters too. We're going to be fine.
So your COVID holdouts are Travis Benjamin and Sean Coleman.
Travis Benjamin of Buffalo fame. He was on Buffalo and he was in the Chargers last year, some shit like that. Either way, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
You see, this is, and anybody watching us, this is the difference between myself and James when we talk about our teams. I know when the Patriots are in trouble. James always thinks it's fine. It's fine. Let's put the Band-Aid on this, and we will be okay. I'm going to say now, you guys will win this division.
Thank you. See?
But That's by a half a game. But the Arizona Cardinals right behind you.
Because the Cardinals. 10-5-1 Arizona. That's right. They're going to fuck up 10-5-1.
And the 49ers are going to be 11-4-1 because the game they tie is going to be against the Cardinals.
You know what's hilarious is that 2 years ago we predicted ties that actually happened. Remember that? That was hilarious. Like, I don't see anyone winning this game. That's why I can't wait for the season to start. I don't see anyone winning this fucking game.
Okay, so you talked about their draft. Let's go ahead and look at their draft picks, sir.
Yes. All right. Bada boom. Realest guys in the room. How you doing?
So their draft consists of Javon Kinlaw, Brandon Ayuk, Colton McKivitz, Charlie Woner, and Juan Jennings.
So Brandon Ayuk, he is actually come on really strong in this camp. There's actually an addition that we added in free agency that if you want to look, throw that up on there real quick.
So you got talk about that. So your additions, your signings, your additions have been Line Walker, Kerry Heater, Travis Benjamin. He was on the Chargers last year, but he's holding out this season. Tony Compton, Jamar Taylor, Don Jordan, Alex Barrett, Jordan Reed, Spencer Long, Tavon Austin, J.J. Nelson, Jaren Brown, Jonathan Cyprin, Hironas Glasu, Eric Swoop, River Crackett, Kevin White, Marquise Gray, and Hironas Glasu. The biggest name to me on there is Jordan Reed. If he could stay healthy, you guys have one of the best tight ends in the NFL, matched up with one of the other best tight ends in the NFL.
Well, the cool part about Jordan Reed is that he doesn't have to come in here and play like he's the best tight end in the NFL or have to play like he's the number one tight end in the NFL. The most that Jordan Reed is probably going to have to do for us is block, okay? Because you know Raheem Mostert is there. We know that the running game has always been a focus. And Kyle Shanahan always knows how to drop running game plays. That's kind of his thing. And he likes speed. He really, I don't know, I think he gets off on speed for some reason.
Well, I failed to mention one other player.
Who?
And that is Trent Williams, the offensive lineman from the Washington football team last year.
Yes, which was that was a big one.
And he is replacing your retired offensive lineman, Joe Staley.
Yeah. So keep this in mind. I want to kind of present this to you, okay? Let me see. So Kevin White is one of those dudes that we signed on that is an amazing wide receiver who didn't even have an opportunity in another place. Like, everybody was so worried about all the other stuff that we had, but Kevin White came in And apparently he's making a huge impression in free agency. Juwan Jennings is the same thing. We have things in place in the 49ers to make sure that we're going to be okay. Our running back situation, remember, this is make or break for Jerick McKinnon. If he doesn't – remember, he's been injured for, what, 2 years in a row now?
Yeah.
It's his make or break for him. We still have Tevin Coleman, who's performed immaculately when he's up, which is the same thing now. But now all the pressure's not on him anymore. Because Raheem Mostert, he wanted that new deal. He's got him, but he's got to put up or shut up. Point blank, period. Jeff Wilson's always been a good dude. You know what I'm saying? Quarterback situation is fine. O-line situation is fine. Defense situation is fine. We're coming in retooled and reloaded on the positions that we lost and got with injuries. But we're fine. Everything is fine.
And funny thing is, you sound like the team that you're wearing on your head right now after Kevin Durant left, the Golden State Warriors. Everything is fine. Oh, wait. Steph Curry just hurt his ankle. Oh, wait. Klay Thompson's out. Fuck. All we have left is fucking Beetlejuice, tall Beetlejuice. And, yeah.
And a bunch of rookies. That's right. A bunch of rookies and tendered free agents, okay? But it's fine. Everything is fine.
Let's go ahead and look at your schedule here.
It's fine.
The quote for the Patriots this year is do your job better. The quote for the 49ers this year is it's fine.
Everything is fine. Don't worry. All right, people get injured. We're just like, don't worry about a thing.
Anyway, so looking at their schedule here, we have the Arizona Cardinals, the New York Jets, the New York Giants, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Miami Dolphins, the LA Rams, the game of the year against the New England Patriots, the Seahawks, the Packers, the Saints, the Rams, Bills, football team, Cowboys, Cardinals, Seahawks. Now, you guys caught a huge break of only having to travel to New York and stay there for a week.
Yeah, we're gonna kick it here. It's cool. No worries. We camp out, you know, chill. It's fine. It's cool. It's cool. We're going to make New York our home. You know, we actually have a practice stadium that our owner bought in New York because when Jim Harbaugh was there, we had to play New York, Buffalo, and New York, all in a four week span because we had the week off. It was hilarious. But our owner's like, you know what? We're gonna buy a practice facility in New York just in case.
Well, yeah, because you also played the New England Patriots in that time period too.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. Everything is fine. So then we got a.
You sound like a used car salesman. Looking at a beater, like, oh, yeah, it's fine. It'll run fine. It's good. It's fine.
Everything is fine.
Oh, my goodness. So, all right. I said earlier that I think the 49ers are going to win this division. And looking at their schedule, I think they're going to go 13-3.
Oh, then we're already on the same page. See? Big signals. Like, I know that everything is fine.
Actually, you know what? Actually, you know what? Hold on. So they split with the Cardinals. They split with the Seahawks. Yeah, 13-3 because they lose in week 7 to the New England Patriots.
Oh, here we go. Gotta be a little rivalry, huh? I think this is how this goes.
No,
we'll beat the Cardinals, beat the Jets, beat the Giants, beat the Eagles, beat the Dolphins, beat the Rams, beat the Patriots.
All right.
Lose to the Seahawks because it's in Seattle. Beat the Packers. Beat the Saints. Beat the Rams. I think the Bills are going to be the toughest one defensively. And we have problems with running quarterbacks. So there's your other your loss number two. We're gonna beat the damn football team, beat the boys of Cal, lose to the birds on the road, because that just seems like a thing that we do towards the end of the fucking season for some stupid ass fucking reason, and then lose and then beat the Seahawks at home, making it 13-3, winning the division outright, winning the and getting the only bye of the season outright inside the NFC, and we are good. And you know everything
you guys, you guys are going 12-4.
How dare you?
Because you lose to New England because you struggle with running quarterbacks, and you lose to Buffalo because you struggle with running quarterbacks, and you split the series with the Cardinals and the Seahawks.
The only thing that Jarrett Stidham is going to be doing in the first part of the season, running wise, is running for his life if they keep him in for the first half of the season.
Jarrett Stidham will not be the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots.
By the time they play the Niners, oh, God. Could you just imagine if Jarrett Stidham throws two interceptions? Oh, here comes Brian Hoyer. Brian Hoyer just does Brian Hoyer's job. Cam Newton comes in and saves the entire season. I have it booked. I have it already booked. So it has to come true, right? That's just what it is.
I'm going to say something to James right now. It's fine. It's fine. The New England Patriots are fine, okay?
Everything is fine. New England and San Francisco, everything is fine.
So, week 7 this year, I'm actually taking an extra day off of work that week due to the fact that my other boy, who I'll be watching the game with, is a 49ers fan, and we're probably going to end up throwing blows and having a fight and then watching the game, drinking, and then punching each other in the face some more, and then we'll be good.
Because everything is fine. Everything is fine.
I'm going to name this video Everything is Fine, the NFC West Rundown.
Everything is fine. All right. So with that being said and everything being fine, if you like us, you like what you see, make sure you subscribe to Simple Black Entertainment. Anywhere you can find us, we have a podcast. We have YouTube. We have Facebook. Allegedly, there's a Twitch out there somewhere, which I don't know, but it's there. It's there, okay? It is there, all right? Probably. Anyways, Big Sim, before we bounce up out of here.
It's just like his old Sinful Black Snapchat that he was going to make, the Sinful Black TV Twitch.
It's there somewhere, probably.
Anyway.
But, you know, everything's going to be fine.
So I've been asking to make the Snapchat for 3 years now.
I mean, it's not that I haven't made it. It's just that I haven't made it.
It's fine. It's fine.
Exactly. What?
You can go on YouTube, like, comment, and subscribe. Hit that bell so you know when Sinful Black TV is live. We have a lot of new content coming out Labor Day week, both on the gaming side and the TV side. And as Hollywood J. Black likes to say, it's fine. And if you're over on Facebook, it's fine. Because we're there too, you can like and subscribe to Sinful Black Sports, Sinful Black Gaming, and Sinful Black Entertainment to find most of the same content you have on YouTube, because it's fine. We're on all forms of social media except Snapchat, because it's fine. He never made the Snapchat.
I didn't say I didn't make it. I just said I didn't make it. Okay, that's... But it's fine.
Hold on, I'm going to do something real quick, and I don't know if you want me to turn off my camera, but I am going to waterboard myself.
Oh Lord, that's illegal. Oh, anyways,
not if you do it to yourself, then it's just masochistic.
Wow.
Anyway, my name is Big Sin. That is Hollywood J. Black. This has been the final episode of the NFL. Hit him with it, James.
Preview.
NFC West Rundown. We hope you have a safe and beautiful weekend, and we will see you right before week 1 for our NFL predictions live.
Live, baby, yes.
So Wednesday, September 9th, we will be live with our NFL Week 1 predictions.
That's right. But until then, ladies and gentlemen, that is Mr. Big MF and Sin. I am Hollywood J. Black, and this is the Overtime Sports Show NFL Preview, and this is a hoodie that I'll be wearing when I'm acting like Bill Belichick, because, you know, I just want to let everybody know that that you have to watch this is the Overtime Sports Show, because they're awesome. They're really cool guys. I'll let them on the boat. They were on the boat. They're cool. And that's right. They're good. They're good. But until next time, ladies and gentlemen, we are out this bitch. Deuces.